Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
Let's get it.
Tim crushes this ball. He throws the bat. The ball goes flying and it's gone.
Under the hood, behind the scenes, nobody really sees.
Four runs, right in the air deep. Is it enough? It's gone! Ball game over!
Hey, I'm hot.
Jonathan Hood.
I'm hot.
Trubisky, Robinson. Allen Robinson, touchdown Bears!
Back with the interception, and Mack will take it all the way in for a touchdown.
A lot of this is behind the scenes or under the hood.
DeMarcus.
Oh!
He didn't come for the massage, he came for the fight show. Oh, baby!
Woo!
Jonathan Hood.
Oh, man! Put a body on that man, please!
Breaks the hole, Swift got running room! Swift gotta go! 30, 20, 10, 5, touchdown, Swift!
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
I'm the man.
Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Welcome in to Under the Hood on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. I'm Chris Black along with Adam Abdallah sitting in for Jonathan Hood tonight. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah and at Chris Black. We're live from the First Midwest Bank Studios on State Street in downtown Chicago. Lots to do tonight, Abdallah, and we start tonight with the Chicago Bears reaction from Tuesday when the Bears have their press conference at the end of the year and we finally get to hear from Ryan Pace, Ted Phillips, George McCaskey, and the head coach, Matt Nagy.
If you wanted answers, you kind of got them. If you wanted transparency, you kind of got it. If you wanted lies and deceit,
oh geez,
you also got it.
That's where you're going with this is
well,
lies. And
I mean,
deceit?
They said they didn't know what they were going to do with the coaching staff, and then they fired two guys an hour later. What is that?
Yeah, no, I mean, I guess it's fair. It's
you think they just went into the
that's not necessarily
think,
being honest with the fan
base? You think they walked
base,
into the
yes.
back room and they were like, "Hey, hold on a second. Hey, hold on. Flip a coin.
Is that what you just said? There?
He's fired. Fired. Okay, sorry, right. Tails fired.
Okay, all right. That's Adam Abdallah. I'm Chris Black, singing for Jonathan Hood tonight. If you want to join the conversation, the phone number is 312-332-3776. We know what this is for the Bears offseason, right? This is one of the biggest offseasons we've seen in quite some time. Why? The team has enough talent to perform at a level to get to the playoffs. And I think many, if we erase what we saw in the last season, we thought this was a championship roster. Mm-hmm. We all thought in this city that this team had enough to compete for a championship. Obviously, they go 8-8. It's not what the Bears wanted, and obviously, it's not what Ryan Pace wanted. And what do we know about Ryan Pace? This is a huge offseason, and it has to do with the quarterback. That's the number one objective, is fixing that position. What do we know about Ryan Pace to this point in his tenure as Chicago Bears GM? He's been here for 5 years, GM for the Chicago Bears. He's 34-46. The Bears have gotten to one playoff game. And if there's one trait I can say about Ryan Pace, is he's bold. He is a bold GM. And why do I say that? He has done things to this point in the 5 years he's been here in Chicago that are bold moves. When he went out in 2007 and signed Mike Glennon, he gave him that contract to be a starter. He thought he was fixing the position. And at the time, I even pulled it up, the Chicago Tribune article from 2017, he was quoted in the article saying that he liked Mike Glennon. Why? Because he had the skill set that reminded him of Matt Ryan. That's his comparison, is that Mike Glennon was Matt Ryan. It was a bold move, right? He goes and gets
bold.
His quarterback. But then
lots of money.
He follows up in the draft. He trades up. He drafts Mitch Trubisky second overall. Mm-hmm. His comparison for Mitch Trubisky is who?
Drew Brees,
right? That's a bold move. Going and getting your quarterback, right? He also drafted in that same year Adam Shaheen, the next Rob Gronkowski. A bold move. A kid that no one knew who Adam Shaheen was heading into the draft. And you drafted him way before than people expected him to go in the second round.
I thought Ashland was a street by my apartment.
Yeah, see, it's fair. It is a street, by the way.
It is
here in Chicago.
An avenue, actually,
in 2017, he also drafted Tariq Cohen, a gadget player, right? He's supposed to be who? The next Darren Sproles, mm-hmm. right? It's a bold move. I'm going to grab my Darren Sproles here in the draft. And then, obviously, if we're Bears fans, we know the boldest move that Ryan Pace has made to this point as Bears GM, and that's trading two first-round picks, a third and a sixth, for Khalil Mack. Those are bold moves, and I think what we see from Ryan Pace is he has a history of making moves that are bold.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not they work out for him or not, he makes the move that is a splashy move. So I get it. On Tuesday, he said a lot of things, like Mitch Trubisky's the quarterback, and that we have to develop the quarterback, and we have faith in said quarterback. But if you look at his track record, he makes bold moves, and I find it hard to believe, sitting here in the new year in 2020, here in January, that Ryan Pace will not make a bold move and actually try and fix this quarterback position this offseason.
Well, what's crazy to me and what's scary to me, actually, is the Ryan Pace that is now going to be, because when you made these statements on Tuesday in the press conference that Trubisky is going to be your starter, when you talked about how this is a, you have a lot of draft picks to work with, that you love having two second round picks and the ability to move around, that scares me, because Ryan Pace with ammo scares me. Ryan Pace with the ability to rob from next year. You know, next year they don't even have all their picks because of the Eddie Pinheiro trade. I know it's only a seventh round pick. I understand that. But still, you don't have a seventh round pick that's less ammo for him to work with. But Ryan Pace doesn't care. Ryan Pace doesn't care about 2021. He doesn't care about 2022. He might not even care about 2023. You know why? Because he cares about the here and now. And if he sees a guy that he wants, he'll trade next year's draft picks for him. He'll trade this year's draft picks for him if he has to move up and find someone. So you're right. The fact that he says that the fact that people think he's not going to address the quarterback position is wrong, because he's going to. You have to. You can't have Chase Daniel in here. You can't have Tyler Bray in here. You need to have guys that if Trubisky struggles in the first couple games of the season, you can't be behind the eight ball. You can't hope that something happens like the Tennessee Titans this year, playing in a wild card game against the Patriots this Saturday. You can't have that happen, because you might not have that kind of luck. You might not. Andy Dalton might not be able to bring you back the way Tannehill has for the Titans. You know, Marcus Mariota might not be able to bring you back. Mark Helfrich is now out as Bears offensive coordinator, so maybe that connection with him and Mariota, that maybe Mariota won't be on the Bears. He also has the same agent as Mitchell Trubisky, so that might lead to him also not being on the Bears, because the agent might want a starting spot for both of his clients as opposed to one taking the starting spot from the other client.
Starter's money is different than backup money.
Exactly. So you're going to have to do two things. You need to draft a quarterback for sure. You also need a veteran for the room. You have to have someone who understands. Alex Smith might be that guy if he's healthy. Andy Dalton might be that guy. Like Marcus Mariota. All these guys that we've mentioned might be that guy. But you have to do something. The Bears have limited money. They have money. It's not a scary amount of money that they have. It's not like a small amount of money. They have cap space to bring in someone. So it's going to be one of these guys off the scrap heap. And then you have to draft someone. And where they draft a quarterback is going to be very telling as to the future of Mitchell Trubisky. Because if you draft someone with one of your second round picks, that means that that guy is going to be given a legitimate shot to start. That's a genuine quarterback competition. You're not drafting Jalen Hurts or Justin Herbert in the second round, not with all the holes that they have on offensive line and tight end and addressing some of the positions of need on defense. You're not drafting someone in the second round to not start. That's not what you do in the NFL. If they end up taking a quarterback in the sixth round, or maybe in the fifth round with one of their picks in the fifth or sixth round, maybe then you know this guy is going to be a backup. They trust Mitchell Trubisky to make the adjustments and move forward. But if they take someone early, that's a genuine quarterback competition, because they can talk all they want to, Chris. He can say Mitch is our starter, all that good stuff. I didn't expect them to come in and be like, hey, Mitch ain't the guy. We're having an open competition. We're not picking up the fifth-year option. Sorry, Mitch, not sorry. I expected them to stand by their guy and say, look. I expected them to say, listen, basically, everything is available. We're going to completely evaluate the room, and we're going to completely evaluate everybody from Chase Daniel to Mitchell Trubisky. And we're going to take in everything to account, and we'll come to a decision. Right now, Mitchell Trubisky is the starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears. Do what Chris Ballard did in Indianapolis today with the Colts and say, you know what? Right now, Jacoby Brissett's our starter, but we're going to evaluate everything. And if we find a better option, we might find a better option.
312-332-3776. If you want to talk Bears football with us, Chris Black and Adam Abdallah sing in for Jonathan Hood tonight on Under the Hood on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. So, Abdallah, like, I get what you're saying. They don't have to say anything, though, because of the situation that they're in. And you mentioned the draft, and we'll know what the Bears are leaning towards doing based on who they draft and when they draft said quarterback. But free agency is before the draft. and they if they go out and they sign someone like a Teddy Bridgewater, wouldn't that also you that there's a starter?
Absolutely.
Or what if they did sign a Marcus Mariota? You just went through their same agent. Who knows if they'd really want to be here, this, that, and the other. If they sign a free agent quarterback who is the caliber of quarterback who could start in the National Football League, I think that tells you also that it is an open competition, right? Like, talk is cheap right now. And I get what Ryan Pace said publicly, and it wasn't a whole lot, but it was supportive of Mitch. And why was it supportive of Mitch? It's because we've seen now through the last couple of seasons that Mitch may not be the strongest mentally when it comes to criticism. And if you have the general manager who selected you second overall speaking publicly as you head into the offseason saying, you're not the quarterback, there's an open competition, and we're searching for someone to bring in here, how do you think that's going to affect the quarterback who this season, when there was criticism from coast to coast on national television, was going around Hallis Hall turning off TVs. Ugh. And I get it, he said it tongue-in-cheek, but still, he still said it, which showed that he was somewhat rattled by the commentary on his game, right? So, like, if you're the GM and you're Ryan Pace and you're in this situation, you know you're in a bind, you know that this is an offseason that you have to address this issue and you have to fix it, right? But there is also the chance that whatever you do with this quarterback, if you can get something out of him, that could be productive for the franchise, whether or not he's the starter here long term and he's the guy that leads this team to the playoffs, or if you can get something out of him and flip him for a draft pick at some point, mm-hmm. right? Because right now, I don't think he has much trade value. No. At most, what would a team give you? A 6th-round pick? A 7th-round pick for Mitch Trubisky, right? Because teams know the Bears are in a bad situation. They need back assets to then try and move up into the draft to draft someone, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, you would really have no advantage trying to trade him right now. But if you could get something out of Mitch Trubisky, it is the most ideal situation for Ryan Pace, not only for his resume and for what he's built here, but also for the team financially. It makes sense to get the most out of this quarterback. That's why he had to say what he had to say. But the fact that they have no real backup right now on the team, we're before the free agent period, we're before the draft, the actions that we will see this offseason will speak louder than anything Ryan Pace says and what he said on Tuesday. That's just the fact of the matter. And going back to what I said 10 minutes ago here on ESPN 1000, Ryan Pace has been bold before as general manager of the Chicago Bears. If that's who he is as a GM, he will be bold again. He will fix this. He will sign Teddy Bridgewater. He will say, Mitch, you got to beat this guy out. And if you can't, we're going to move you along. Right? And you also draft a quarterback. Say you get to the second round pick, and there's a quarterback sitting there that looks like he could be somewhat of a project, or maybe someone that fell in the draft that you didn't expect to fall to that position. You select that guy, and boom. What did he do immediately? He immediately changed the quarterback room for the better, mm-hmm. and now you're moving in the right direction. And all the focus on him being a bad GM and Matt Nagy being a coach that we're skeptical about and a quarterback who's terrible, now that focus changes and we go back to saying, you know what? This defense is a top 10 defense. And we had Super Bowl aspirations hanging into last season, but the quarterback couldn't get the offense off the ground. And if this quarterback, whoever he selects, is the guy, this offense just gets to, what, halfway through the pack in the NFL, and all of a sudden this team's right back in the playoffs. A lot of things can change in this offseason for the better, and it just takes Ryan Pace to be bold and to make the move.
I think he will be bold and make the move. I don't think that means a Bridgewater's coming in, because I think wherever Bridgewater goes, if he decides to leave New Orleans, because there has been talk that New Orleans will just pay him to stay and be a backup, because you don't know how long the shelf life of Drew Brees is. So I think that if he does go somewhere, it's going to be a starter. And if the Bears do decide to go that route, then you know right away he's coming in to be a starter, right? So ultimately, you need to find out. And like you mentioned, the championship window. Let me read these to you. I'm going to give you these numbers, okay? 4, 14, 1, yep. 11, mm-hmm. 2, 7, okay. 18, yep. 16, 15, 12, and 6.
Those are random numbers.
They're random numbers, but they are also the DVOA rankings of the defenses that are in the playoffs right now. Do you know where the Bears rank in DVOA defense?
Eighth.
Yes, eighth. This is a playoff defense. This is a Super Bowl caliber defense. If you have, like, if you want to say, oh, Kansas City's going to go to the Super Bowl, 14th in DVOA. Seattle's going to go to the Super Bowl, 18th in defensive DVOA. Maybe it's going to be Green Bay, 15th in defensive DVOA. These are teams, yes, I understand, they have quarterbacks, except for Tennessee. You know, they've got Ryan Tannehill. But aside those, they have good quarterback play. That's why you've got Aaron Rodgers, you've got Russell Wilson, you've got Tom Brady, you've got Patrick Mahomes. That's the difference. But the Bears are lucky enough to have a top 10 defense by every single metric that is available to rank defenses. And you need to take advantage of that while you still have that, because it's hard to keep big defenses and strong defenses like this together. You've got a Khalil Mack window. You traded for him. You signed him. You have this window of Khalil Mack. I know he didn't have a good year this year. That doesn't mean he's not one of the top two or three best defensive players in the NFL. You have Akeem Hicks. You have Eddie Jackson. You have all these guys here, and you need to take advantage of this caliber of a defense, because we saw what happens. Teams end up paying their quarterback. They can't afford to pay other players. Those players leave. The defense usually suffers. The weapons around the quarterback suffer, and then you have to find ways to get creative and rebuild that. That is why it is so important for Ryan Pace to get this quarterback situation and get this quarterback room right this offseason.
So here's the question. What would you do? What would your plan be for the Bears this offseason? Ryan Pace said publicly that the plan right now is to get Mitch Trubisky to develop and to bring him back, and he's the starter. Adam laid out what he would do. I laid out what I would do. I would go sign someone in free agency. I would draft someone in the draft. I would load up the quarterback room with new quarterback faces, and I would try and move forward by fixing the problem by throwing a lot of resources at said problem. What would you do? 312-332-3776. We'll talk Bears with you, and Gideon and Niles is up first here on ESPN 1000. What's up, Gideon?
Hey, guys. You guys are the most rational people on this radio station, I just have to say. I think you guys really understand what's going on. Pace and Nagy are stuck between a rock and a hard place. They can't really do anything right now about the quarterback position. One, free agency hasn't started and the draft is a while away. And two, they can't reveal their cards. So I agree completely with you. To answer your question really quickly, what I would do is, I think Teddy Bridgewater is the best surefire way to go in terms of handling your quarterback situation. There's no surefire way in the NFL, but I think Bridgewater, of all the quarterbacks out there that you guys have mentioned, is the most surefire way to fix it quickly and make sure that we can win in this championship window.
Thank you, Gideon. We appreciate it. Let's go to Jay in Worth. Jay, you're on ESPN 1000.
Yeah, hi. How you doing, guys? I couldn't disagree more with that last caller. Actually, I am optimistic with the press conference, because I believe Ryan Pace recognizes that the last few off seasons he messed up by not bolstering our offensive line. And if you look at just all the quarterbacks, all the young quarterbacks who are thriving that we passed up on, like Mahomes and Watson, they're very fragile physically. They've already broken down in their first few years in the league, and that's even with superior talent around them. I actually think Mitch has performed under chaos better than any other quarterback in the league, and it's pretty much fact now that the season's over that if you rate we have the worst offensive line in football. We have one legitimate starter that could start on any other team, and even Whitehair, we've been moving him around constantly, which is kind of messing up his development as a lineman. I just think, and then also the tight end position, I think Ryan Pace recognizes that. And if you look at the hiring of Juan Castillo from Philadelphia, if you look at the way they built their line, they put two maulers on the outside. Their two tackles are Pro Bowl caliber. And I think if you do that same thing for Mitch, you give a young, inexperienced quarterback good line where it's not collapsing and it's not a jailbreak on every other snap, I think Mitch will perform and develop, and all the flaws he has, you'll see he'll progress and he'll develop and kind of correct those. And he's got six fourth quarter comebacks, and he'd have eight of them if we didn't have a terrible kicker and just
bad, predictable play calling.
All right, Jay, thank you for the call, man. We appreciate it. You know, as Jay lays out his side of the conversation, you know, a good offensive line certainly helps a young quarterback. I will not disagree with Jay or anyone that tries to sell me on this. But a good quarterback also helps out an offensive line. And you can say that Mitch is good in stressful situations, but I think there's plenty of tape and footage out there of Mitch not being so cool under the collar, right? Like, there are many times where things are kind of collapsing around the pocket and Mitch just is not making the right read. He's not finding the right guy downfield. He's not going for the kill shot, as Matt Nagy has called it in the past. The shots that should be seven, instead, he's dumping, he's checking down, he's stepping out of bounds when he's taking sacks. Like, there are things that he does that a decent to good quarterback, they don't do. But yet, he does have sparkling plays from here now, every once in a while. And Ryan Pace mentioned it. Matt Nagy mentioned it. Everyone at House Hall mentions it. They just need more of that. The problem is we've seen him now for enough 40-plus games here where he's not really clicking as far as a starter in the National Football League.
See, Chris, and therein lies the problem. The problem is that Ryan Pace watches the game the way I feared that Ryan Pace watched the game. Where he's like, oh man, look at that throw. See, that's the guy I drafted. Oh, really? What about the guy that stepped out of bounds 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage?
There's the guy.
There he is.
That's him.
And then Trubisky's going, there I am.
Looking up at him in the skybox.
Oh, does he look up at the skybox at Pace when he steps 3 yards out of bounds? Behind the line of scrimmage and steps out of bounds?
Some bold Mitch.
How about this? When the defense goes off sides and he throws it into the dirt, does he look up at Pace during those plays too? Does Pace go, there's my guy, and during those plays? It's simple plays where I understand it. The O-line has been bad this year. The play calling, not balanced and bad this year. The guys need to look in the mirror and say, I get it. It's a battle. You fired the offensive line coach. You fired the guys in charge of the run game. And Nagy needs to take a real hard look in the mirror and figure out what he's doing on play calling and whether he needs to give that up or if he's going to keep it. He needs to figure it out. But you cannot look at Trubisky in the last 3 years and tell me that he is a legitimate starter on any team that wants to make it anywhere in the playoffs, let alone try to make it to the playoffs. Because I'll tell you this, Chris, it is January 2nd, 2020.
Uh-huh.
I can almost guarantee it.
Yeah.
I don't want to be guarantee guy.
You're doing guarantees?
I don't want to be the guarantee guy.
Do we have to edit this and keep this in a file somewhere so we can bring it back?
Keep it. The Bears are closer to us doing the same show next year than they are to us previewing them in a playoff game next year.
Oh, yeah, I would agree with that, because if they don't change anything at the quarterback position, I could see them even taking a step back. I think that's a distinct possibility.
Yeah, they're 8-8, but this season sure as hell felt a lot like 6-10.
Scott, listening in Chesterton, Indiana, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Scott?
So I just wanted to agree with that last caller. I think if you put if we had a better offensive line and a better run game, that Mitch would look way better. I don't care. The only quarterback, in my opinion, that you could put on that team and would do well is Russell Wilson.
I think that if you put a lot of quarterbacks on this team, that they would be just fine and not look like Mitch did. I think that you put any other accurate quarterback, if Ryan Pace actually had Drew Brees, this team would be in the playoffs. If this team had, if you took Jay Cutler out of Uncommon James and put him on the Bears teams, that's the name of the store that they own.
Got it. In Wicker Park?
Yeah, well, it's all over the place. Actually, it started in Nashville, but now it's in the West Loop. Yeah, it's in the West Loop. Right. If you put Jay Cutler on this team, they'd be a playoff team.
Thank you for the call, Scott. That's Adam Abdallah. I'm Chris Black. We will continue taking your Bears phone calls at 312-332-3776. The other news from Tuesday with the Chicago Bears, they fire Mark Helfrich and Harry Hiestand. Mike Golic Jr., who you hear every day here on Golic and Wingo from 5 to 9 a.m. on ESPN 1000, played for Harry Hiestand. He's coming up next on ESPN 1000.
Chris Black and Adam Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Extreme confidence in our head coach and the leader of our team, Matt Nagy. Together, we'll work hard on solutions for the Chicago Bears.
That was Ryan Pace on Tuesday. Chris Bluck, Adam Abdallah singing for Jonathan Hood tonight on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. You know, also on Tuesday, after Ryan Pace spoke to the media, he and Matt Nagy were speaking. They said that they weren't sure if they were ready to announce any changes to the staff. And then an hour after the press conference, they announced some changes to the staff. They fired Mark Helfrich and Harry Hiestand, both gone for the Bears offense.
Well, they were on the fence, and they went in, and they had a rock, paper, scissor contest, and Matt Nagy won both of those
rock bets out of three.
They
did not do that. No, that's not what took place.
Well, then
no.
How do you not know? You knew. No. You knew.
Well, because someone had to take the blame for this being one of the worst offenses in the National Football League, for having a quarterback that didn't develop. It wasn't going to be Trubisky. It wasn't going to be Nagy. It certainly wasn't going to be Ryan Pace, so someone had to take the fall.
But you knew before the press conference you were going to fire them.
It's amazing. It's so you don't have to answer the questions. That's why.
It's probably their best move on offense they've made all season.
Oh, there you go.
Zing.
Bluck and Abdallah here singing for Jonathan Hood tonight on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. About a year ago, you and I were at Goose Island in the snow, because this was just after the Bears lost in the wild card game. The double doink. Uh-huh. Cody Parkey missed the field goal. And our friend Michael Jr. was there kicking field goals, trying to prove that he could be a better kicker than Cody Parkey. But instead, no one made the field goal that day at Goose Island. Yeah, we now bring in Michael Jr. You can hear him, Golic and Wingo, 5 to 9 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000 each weekday morning. You can also follow him on Twitter at mgolicjr57. Mike, it's Chris and Adam. What's going on tonight?
Fellas, we learned that day that I am a much better beer drinker than I have a field goal kicker. I had that in common with the rest of Chicago, though, which is nice to say.
Absolutely. It was a great time. What did you make of the fact that the Bears fired Harry Hiestand and Mark Helfrich the other day?
Just like you guys said, unfortunately, we demand some sort of pound of flesh when a season goes the way that this one did, with the expectations that the Bears had. So I look at it, and obviously I don't know Mark Helfrich personally. Harry was my offensive line coach my last year at Notre Dame. I can assure you his coaching was not part of the problem in all this, but you know, when your running game is what it is and the offensive line fails to perform, unfortunately, this is how professional football works. No one knows that better than he does, so certainly won't be shocked when he resurfaces somewhere and contributes to some team, but this is pretty cut and dry as far as what the intent was.
Mike, Adam and I never played football. You did. Can you take us behind the scenes on what it was like to have Harry Hiestand as your coach at Notre Dame? What was it like? What made him stand out compared to other coaches you had growing up and playing football?
Have you guys ever seen Whiplash?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, with J.K. Simmons. Uh-huh. Harry's J.K. Simmons. Harry wants you to be better than you could ever possibly fathom for yourself. He is a hard man to play for. He is a pretty, you know, he can be a mean cuss at times, but I promise you, you always know that he is for you. Like, once you give him everything, and he's going to give you everything in return, you know that from day one. His passion and his pride in the room that he's coaching is truly second to none. And, I mean, you want to talk about a guy who will go above and beyond. I was a fifth-year senior when I had Harry, so I had him for 1 year. I was not Zach Martin or Chris Watt or one of these great players that he had either. I was a guy that he really had to coach, and at times we had frustrating conversations. And after that season, I went to camp with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I got cut. And after that, I went back in the offseason. I'm working out at Notre Dame. I'm trying to get another shot. And Harry says, all right, come with me. We're going to make a highlight tape of your pro day workout, of your, you know, senior highlights and cut-ups, your stuff for preseason. And I'm going to hand write a note to every coach that I know, O-line related, in the NFL, and we're going to send that all together. So that's the kind of man and the kind of dedication that he brings to whatever job that he is on. And so that's why I can assure you that he was part of whatever the solution was going to be. But unfortunately, that won't be the case.
So the big debate we've been having with listeners is that, you know, a lot of people still believe that with better offensive line play, that Mitchell Trubisky would be a much better quarterback, and that he is still can be a really good quarterback in the NFL as soon as they fix the offensive line. As someone who watches a lot of offensive line play, was it the talent that Hiestand had? Was it or Matt Nagy's scheme? Or was it just that, you know, Trubisky wasn't really giving them a lot to work with as an offensive line?
I think it was a little mix of all the above. Listen, personnel-wise, especially once you had to start some injuries up front, some guys moving around position, I think you had some guys playing out of position for a good deal of the season. You combine that with, listen, I think part of it was also a lack of willingness to include the one part of the run game that gives you the highest chance for success, which is using Mitch. Like, if you go back to that 2018 season, I thought a lot like Josh Allen, a lot like some of the other quarterbacks we're seeing by time with their feet, that using that as a part and encouraging that as a part of your offense, whether it's in the passing game, coming off reads on move the pocket, flat passes that we know that offense likes to use when the pocket breaks down, he's a guy with gifted ability. And so I thought for far too long this season, really until the last four or five games, they muzzled one of the things that he did best.
Michael Jr. on the phone with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah, sitting in for Jonathan Hood tonight on Under the Hood on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. Mike, I think the last time we talked was like in September before the season started, and we talked about Mitch Trubisky, and I wanted to know, has your opinion on Trubisky's play changed? Do you think he's a starting quarterback in the National Football League?
I personally at this point do not, but that's what he's going to be going into next season. And hey, listen, he's got some of the gifts, and we've seen, like, I had questions about, as I mentioned before, Josh Allen. I've had questions about some guys in the past, like Blake Bortles, who I came on the station a year ago and likened Mitchell Trubisky to and took a fair amount of heat for. But when you've got a quarterback that makes a fair amount of his best plays with his legs, I call that as I see it. So he's going to be the quarterback going forward. Physically, he has the gifts. We know him and Matt Nagy have done it before. So I would have probably looked to bring in some competition, and that's not to say the Bears still won't this offseason, but he is going to be your starter. And so now you're going to have to make sure this offense, this offseason, is rededicated to putting in and using the things that he does best within the body of the offense.
So they have limited resources of what they can do. They have limited draft picks. How do you address the quarterback room? Chase Daniel is going to be hosting Golic and Wingo tomorrow between 6 and 8 or 5 and 7 Central here on ESPN Chicago. So what do you think they should do as far as addressing that quarterback room?
Well, like I said, I think they should bring in, and this offseason, I understand you're going to have some limits, but if it was possible to bring in one of the veteran signal callers that's going to be available this offseason, someone like potentially a Teddy Bridgewater or Cam Newton, the ones that we know could be floating around as free agents this offseason, I think you could at the very least create some competition and create a sense of urgency around that room right now that it didn't often seem like was there enough. You know, again, it's tough because we see flashes, and down the stretch of the season, I said, all right, we started to see some flashes of those physical gifts, but I think ultimately we treat the quarterback with, you know, kid gloves far too often. These guys are high-level pro athletes. They can handle competition the way almost every other position is subjected to if the performance is at the level we saw for a lot of this year.
You do a lot with college football, too. Is there a quarterback out there that you think will be available to them, whether it's the second round or later in the draft, that would fit Matt Nagy's system the way and kind of get more out of it than Mitch has?
Man, the second round, this draft is going to be such a strange case study just because of what Tua represents in the middle of all this. So I'm not really sure at this point, not having dove into it quite enough to say, just because I think there are going to be some guys, you know, what Jake Fromm decides to do. He's a guy that at the beginning of the season I thought had some first round potential, was getting some of that talk, and with the lack of weapons they had, some of the issues with continuity up front for them, that was a team that struggled to put together offense. But I think there's still a guy that has talent there that you're going to be able to get at a pretty decent price, at a pretty decent value in the draft. So maybe he becomes someone in this offense that's got the ability, when given the chance, to put it, sling it around a little bit, because Lord knows Georgia didn't let him until the bowl game we saw the other day.
Michael Jr. talking to Chris Black and Adam Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. As we preview Wild Card Weekend, do you think the Buffalo Bills have a chance to upset the Texans? I think the only option they have there would be if their offense can score on the Texans' defense.
Yeah, I think that certainly, while it's nice to hear that J.J. Watt is coming back, and it's a great testament to who he is as a pro, I can't expect a ton of production out of that guy coming off of a pec injury that's only a few months old at this point. So you're right. I think the run game and what we've seen from Derrick Henry is certainly going to be part of that, who's a little nicked up down the stretch. But guys, for me, this game is as simple as, is Will Fuller healthy enough and on the field enough in this game? Because when he has been on the field, the Texans offense looks like one of the best in the NFL. And when he is off the field, they somehow lose the ability to get it to even one of the best receivers in football, DeAndre Hopkins. So football is at times a complicated game, but at times a very simple one. And when the Texans play, if Will Fuller is out there or not seems to be the determining factor.
If you had to put your money down on a run ending, is it the Ryan Tannehill run ending with Tennessee and what they've been able to put together with him at quarterback, or the Patriots and Tom Brady, who everybody seems to say, hey, I know they're 5-point favorites, but ultimately this might be where it ends here?
Yeah, this feels like one of those NFL moments where we all decide, all right, here's where the Patriots go down, and then they forget to tell us our plans. Like, they flex back into some of the stuff they use offensively with the fullback to beat Buffalo a couple of weeks ago, and they let us all sit there and think about what is yet another weird late-season loss to Miami, albeit this one was at home, but still, this is something that's kind of par for the course for them. So I'm never betting on a Patriots loss. I don't have that in me. I have been friends with Stu Gatz for far too long to let that evil into my life, and so I'm going to let Dad and Trey go down on this one. They have both picked Tannehill and company to keep the run going. I am going to ride, as Will Cain once said, be the last one to turn the lights out of the bar with Tom Brady.
The first game on Sunday is Vikings at Saints. Are the Saints the best team playing Wild Card Weekend?
I think the Saints are. Yes, excuse me. I was thinking because the Vikings roster is not that far away when it's healthy and firing on all cylinders. That's a supremely talented team, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But yeah, I think that the Saints are. I mean, they were my pick before the season to represent the NFC as far as a Super Bowl contender. They have been for the last few years. Like, think about what it's taken to keep the Saints out of the Super Bowl in the last 2-3 seasons. It's been remarkable. And so at some point, Drew Brees especially, how much he has improved pushing the ball downfield late in the season, which is the exact opposite of what we saw last year post-Thursday night beatdown by Dallas. That's what gives me the most hope in all this. Certainly, Michael Thomas and his production are otherworldly, but Drew Brees has been operating at a level that a quarterback at his age, I wasn't sure still had in him.
One of the oddities this season is the Seahawks being 7-1 on the road and only 4-4 at home. Do they find a way to win on the road and end Philly's magic that they found winning 4 in a row so far?
I think so, and I hope so, because I hope what the Seahawks are forced to do. And the Marshawn Lynch re-signing story is incredible. I was the first one to line up with Seahawks Twitter and wait for the content fountain that is Marshawn Lynch to be back in our lives. And from Pete Carroll, that's the kind of guy he is. He is waves of positivity. He is going to fill your energy bucket. He's going to do everything possible to make this group feel and look towards the future with a lot of promise. That being said, offensively, what Brian Schottenheimer needs to realize now is you don't really have any running backs. And while this is a nice story, you need to use one of the best quarterbacks in football a lot more than you have been. Stop trying to force the run to be the primary mode of transportation on this offense and let him air it out to Lockett. Let him air it out to DK Metcalf. Let this offense work through the air the way Russell Wilson has shown us time and time again he's capable of, but for some reason, Brian Schottenheimer refuses to believe on a consistent basis.
Thank you, Mike. Unfortunately, we don't have a field goal kicking competition to fly you out to this year. We're just sad and depressed because our team went 8-8 after championship expectations.
You can just come drink with us if you want to.
You know what? I think that's the solution to all this. We get a drink, regroup. Brighter days are ahead. Matt Nagy and his coaching staff are a quality group. I know they've made some changes, but I do believe they're going to get this team back to a good place. So we'll drink and commiserate over that, and it'll all be good.
Thank you, Mike. We appreciate it.
Thanks, fellas.
That's Mike Gold Jr. Here I'm Gold and Wingo, 5 to 9 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000 each weekday. You can also follow him on Twitter, mgolickjr57. Black and Abdallah sing in for Jonathan Hood tonight here on ESPN 1000. Do you put ice cubes in your cereal? I ask Abdallah that next.
Chris Black and Adam Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
What?
Yo, it's time for Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Chris Black, Adam Abdallah, sitting in for Jonathan Hood tonight here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. In 10 minutes, we will continue talking Bears with you. We're going to hear from Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy, Ted Phillips, and George McCaskey and their thoughts on Mitch Trubisky. I feel like there's some difference in the opinions coming out of Hollis Hall. There's four major players there, and we'll see if it all matches up. If everyone's saying the same thing to the media and to the public about their quarterback, Mitch Trubisky.
I know what McCaskey said about Trubisky, and it's very interesting.
Chris Black and Adam Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. If you want to join the conversation, 312-332-3776. I've got a question for you in a second about cereal. But let's go to Southside Scott and Alsip. Scott, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I want to kind of tail on to the two earlier callers that talked about the offensive line. And you guys had mentioned if Jay Cutler was on the team, they would have been in the playoffs. I can't tell you that for sure. I know that he probably would have shoved Charles Leno a couple of times, like
probably
DeMarcus Webb.
That's fine.
But if Charles Leno and Bobby Massey are on the team next year, then we've got a bigger problem than Mitchell Trubisky. Now, he may not be the most experienced quarterback. And, you know, when the Bears were drafting, they jumped up. They're going to take Deshaun Watson. Well, you know, they didn't, and the rest is history. But, you know, nobody could have predicted Patrick Mahomes the way he's turned out. But, you know, the Bears have not drafted a Pro Bowl offensive tackle since Jimbo Covert. And that's the problem. You know, you have to have a good, solid offensive line like Dallas did. And, you know, until the Bears do that, everything else is a problem. You want to get somebody, a veteran, that's going to maybe help him. I don't know when the contract runs out with Josh McCown with Philadelphia. He's somebody I'd like to see them bring in to kind of tutor him. But as far as anything else, you got to get a line for him to play behind. To, you know, he's going to take some time, and he may not be the guy, but you got to have a good line.
All right, thank you, Scott. We appreciate it. I think the to add to that would be using a running game, right? Balance is key in the NFL, and the fact that the Bears, for the most part, ditched the running game altogether and just hoped that Trubisky would figure it out was a major issue to why the offense struggled the way it did this last season.
I absolutely agree with you, and I think what I don't understand is why people don't get that both things can be true. It's not an either or.
Yes, because if you fix the offensive line, all of a sudden Mitch Trubisky is Peyton Manning.
Both can be bad. The offensive line can be bad, and Trubisky can be bad, and the run game can be bad. It's all bad. It's not just if we fix one thing, everything is perfect. Everything can be bad. It is all bad. They can help each other. If the quarterback was better, it could help out the offensive line. If the offensive line was better, it could help out the run game and the quarterback. If the run game was better, it would help the offensive line and the quarterback. It's all intertwined.
We'll get more of your phone calls at 312-332-3776 on the Chicago Bears. Abdallah, did you see this earlier today? Lead singer from Kiss, Gene Simmons, put a picture on Twitter, and he asked the question, anyone else put ice cubes in their cereal? And it's a picture of his morning cereal with milk, the cereal, and ice cubes in the cereal. Have you ever put ice cubes in your cereal? Why would someone put ice cubes in their cereal?
I don't put ice cubes in my cereal.
What is wrong with Gene Simmons?
But the man is a genius.
Why? Why would you want to water down your milk?
You don't need to water down your milk. Who eats cereal slowly enough for it to be watered down? I'm just trying to maintain the temperature of my cereal while I enjoy it. I don't like lukewarm cereal.
Why do you pour your cereal and then wait for it to get room temp to eat it?
You don't.
Eat it right
but
away.
But now I can eat it at my leisure if I need to get up and I need to get
your
something
leisure.
Else. If I need to, if there's a commercial
what
break, if I need
when
to
you're
do
you're eating
this,
cereal?
I'm just saying that if I want to take my time and enjoy my cereal at my own speed, I now can do it. This is genius, and it's no shock to me that Gene Simmons came up with this, as he is a prime marketer of Kiss and Kiss-related products. The dude sells Kiss caskets and Kiss everything.
Yes, I'm aware.
They have Kiss literally everything. What do you want? You want a Kiss mic flag for your microphone? You want Kiss headphones? They've got it. They've got everything.
Yes, I know.
And now. You know what you should be doing, actually, instead of putting ice cubes, you should buy those whiskey stones that they have, and they put them in your whiskey.
Put an entire block into your cereal?
They're stones.
Yes,
they don't melt. You can put them in the freezer, and they're cold.
You can also get the big
cubes. Maybe you should do that. Get one of those big ice balls.
Why am I putting ice in my cereal?
To keep the milk cold while you eat it.
Just eat it in the moment.
If your milk's getting warm, that also means it's getting soggy. You just eat it.
Yeah.
Like, no. You don't wait for it. Like, if you're waiting for the ice to melt, now your cereal's all soggy.
Sometimes I eat all the cereal I got extra milk in, and then I can put more cereal in there now because it's still cold.
Do you do anything weird with your food? Tweet us. At Adam A. Abdallah and at Chris
Blake. Keep it clean.
Yes, that's what I mean. What are you doing over there?
Just asking.
Like
just
Gene
saying.
Simmons putting ice cubes in his cereal. We'll talk Bears next.
Chris Black and Adam Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Keep it clean.